On May 31st, the Israeli military attacked an aid flotilla that had sailed out of Turkey, crewed by an alliance of pro-Palestinian activists who had combined to deliver 10,000 tons of aid to Gaza. Israeli commandos came by sea and air, storming into the Mavi Marmara, the flagship of the flotilla, as they sailed 90 miles off the coast of Gaza in international waters. Video footage of the assault on the Mavi Marmara showed at least half a dozen armed and masked commandos, apparently having been helicoptered on. Although a white flag of surrender had been raised on board, the Israeli army still continued shooting live munitions. The bloody attack on the Freedom Flotilla left dozens of the passengers injured and at least 9 dead, while Israelis arrested nearly 700 activists from 32 countries on board the civilian vessel. International condemnation was swift and harsh. Press TV's British national correspondent Hassan Ghani was on board the humanitarian convoy and tells us exactly what happened. It's quite a unique experience what happened on the ship. Could you tell us a little bit more about how the attack started and when did you realize that it was actually a serious situation you were in?
Well, the night before we actually caught the Israeli ships on radar approaching, they backed off and we thought things had calmed down. People went to sleep, a few people were on guard. Nothing happened then until the Fajr prayer, the morning prayer. And the Israelis began their attack as people were in the middle of the prayer. They timed it exactly so it started halfway through the prayer. The commanders came alongside on their small boats and started throwing stun grenades onto the deck using rubber bullets. And they were repelled by water cannons on the ship, which people had kind of prepared in anticipation. When their attempt to mount from the side failed, they then came by helicopter. And that's when the kind of scuffling and the hand-to-hand fighting began. The soldiers came down armed with machine guns and pistols and all sorts of weaponry. And on the ground, there were just, these are average people, civilians, who work as accountants or estate agents or postal workers in their normal lives. They don't really know how to fight. So all they did was, whatever was nearby, they used. They didn't have any weapons. They used whatever they could to defend this ship. This ship was in international waters. It was carrying humanitarian aid. The Israelis had no right to board it, they had no right to hijack it, and they had no right to even inspect what was on board. The organisers had always said that the UN could inspect what was on board, but they weren't going to allow the Israelis on board because that defeated the purpose of the convoy. The whole point was to remove this Israeli control over what the Palestinians can and can't do. Well, they did talk to the captain of our ship, the Mavi Marmara, which was the lead ship of the six, and they asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "Our destination is Gaza." And they said, "Stop where you are." And they wanted him to go to the Israeli port of Ashdod. And he made it very clear, "No, we're not going to stop. We're going to Gaza. You have no right to stop us. We're in international waters. And we're going to proceed directly from international waters to Palestinian waters." Now, Israel always claims that it ended the occupation of Gaza back in, I think, was it 2006?
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, it ended the occupation of Gaza. If it ended the occupation of Gaza, it has no right to control Palestinian waters. It can't have it both ways. So our plan was to steer clear of Egyptian waters and Israeli waters and go directly into Palestinian waters.
Mm.
And so Israel's attack was completely illegal. And we didn't actually expect it to happen while we were so far out. We were outside not only Israel's so-called 20-mile exclusion zone, but that day they'd extended the zone to 68 miles from the coast. But we were outside even that. We were 75 miles from the Israeli coast, very, very far from Israel. So we weren't expecting the attack.
And can you tell us more about the people who were on board? What kind of people were they, the people who were with you, and what nationalities were they?
We had, on the flotilla as a whole, we had 6 ships. There were 32 different nationalities on board. The aid was from 50 different countries. The ships were, 3 of them were registered as Turkish, and 3 were registered as Greek. But in reality, 1 ship was Turkish, 1 ship was funded by groups in Algeria, 1 was from Bahrain and Kuwait, 1 was from Sweden, 1 was from Greece. There was a huge number of organizations involved. The people on board were just kind of, most of them were average people, you know, Europeans, Turks, even some Pakistanis, a mixture, a broad range from around the world who had just been so upset by what they'd seen, both in the assault on Gaza, the war on Gaza, and the effects of the siege, which were stopping people from rebuilding their homes, stopping people from living normal lives, and crippling the Palestinian economy. All they wanted to do was carry humanitarian aid through. And I asked them again and again, I put Israel's accusations to them, that this was an attempt simply to embarrass Israel, to undermine Israel. And they said, no, we have no issue in this particular instance with Israel. This is not an attack on Israel. This is simply an attempt at carrying humanitarian aid. We don't care about Israel. We don't care about Zionism here. This is simply about helping the Palestinian people.
And what was exactly the contents of the ship? What was this humanitarian aid? And did you have any arms with you?
There were no weapons at all. As I said, the what was loaded onto the ships was inspected by independent auditors at the ports, both in Greece and in Turkey. The UN were given the offer to come and inspect what was on the ships. There were no weapons whatsoever, not a single gun. Nothing at all. The ships were carrying a huge kind of range of materials, from educational books to, you know, 500 tons of cement, because we, you know, tens of thousands of homes were destroyed in Israel's bombing, and they've not been able to rebuild those homes, the Palestinians, because even the import of cement isn't allowed. And that's why when Israel says it allows aid through, what it allows through is only a small percentage of what's needed. And what it allows through is what it decides is allowed through. So many, you know, we have tens of thousands of Palestinians still living in tents more than a year after their homes were bombed. And this is an unacceptable situation as far as the people in the convoy were concerned. So they're taking cement, they're taking wheelchairs, they're taking drugs for treating cancer, because people who have cancer in the Gaza Strip can't get proper treatment because those drugs aren't able to get through. Medical equipment, educational materials, as I mentioned, just daily things that aren't allowed through, that are needed, desperately needed.
And when the Israelis attacked, did they give you any explanations about what they were doing? And when did you begin to realize that it was actually a serious thing? And you,
there'd been a war of words in the media. The Israelis had said, "We are not going to allow this convoy through under any circumstances, and we will use force if necessary to stop it." On the other hand, the organizers had been talking to us, to Press TV and other outlets, and saying, we are not going to stop. We're going to take this through legally, through international waters, and there's not going to be any compromise on that. So it was clear that something was going to happen. The Israelis, when they attacked with stun grenades and rubber bullets, etc. And we only realized how serious it was when the first person fell to the ground, and we looked at him, and he'd been shot right on the forehead, directly square on the forehead. And that showed that the shooting was not in the middle of some chaos or an affray or in self-defense. This was a targeted killing. The soldier had time to set up the shot, and it was from close range. And of course, now it's being revealed through the autopsies and the forensics that in fact not just him but many of the killings were at very close range. Some from even 45 centimeters from the person who was killed, the bullets were fired. So we know that these were targeted killings. These were killings in cold blood. And when we saw that killing, that's when we realized how serious it was. They were using live ammunition, and that's when the white flag went up, when the organizers said, okay, we said we were going to defend these ships with our bare hands, with our bodies, but we really can't afford to allow these innocent people to be massacred like this.